The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this he turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
For those of you who have had experience in undergraduate education, and this is somewhat true of high school education as well, but you know that certain classes have prerequisites. The idea is that unless you take this class before this class, you probably will not pass the class. I think of in math, you can't take higher calc until you take introductory calculus. It's the main reason why I didn't take higher calculus. If you want to take organic chemistry, you have to have chemistry 101, hence why I didn't take organic chemistry. And say, like in theological studies, you can't take certain scripture classes until you have Hebrew and Greek, and I did not get a scripture degree, so strike three. It might seem silly or out of place for us to think in terms of prerequisites today. When our Lord is talking to his apostles, but he's talking about discipleship today. Discipleship, the root word, the chief beliefs, means basically to teach, to learn. So really, it's a master class that our Lord is doing here. And this is the very centerpiece of the Gospel of Mark today. It's like the dead center. And we can say up to this point, the apostles were auditing the class. There was no, say, risk necessarily yet. They were just sitting in the classroom, no risk to them. But it's really not an option after this. The Lord is basically saying, at this point, you got to choose to take the class. But there are prerequisites. And by my count, reading this section of the gospel, there are three. The first prerequisite is a basic mental assent. That's the first part of the conversation Jesus has about who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Of course, we're thankful that truth is not determined by majority vote. The idea that there is a truth about who Jesus is despite most people getting him wrong. Some people thought he was John the Baptist back from the dead. Some people thought he was Elijah. Some people thought he was maybe another prophet. I don't know. And then he asks the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And their answer, their conviction, intellectual assent to this, it determines their path forward because you can't follow him if he's just one other prophet. He makes too bold of claims for this. It's actually a gift from God the Father through the gift of the Spirit that Peter pipes up and says, "You are the Christ." So that's the first prerequisite. The second one, when he goes on, and talks about his own suffering, and then Peter tries to rebuke him, and Peter says, "Get behind me, Satan." Then he kind of sums the whole crowd of disciples, comes together and says, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." So the first words, "whoever wishes." So another prerequisite is you have to desire to follow me. It can't be just casual. It can't be an obligation. You have to desire it. Whoever wishes to follow after me. So just gauging the group, saying, do you want this? So intellectual assent, desire of the heart, and lastly, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. And that's primarily an act of the will. I must choose to deny my own will, my own preferences, my own route, my own goals, and put them subservient to the Lord's will. So there's three prerequisites: the mind, the heart, and the will. The Lord is basically asking for all of us to be a part of this class. Now, the good news is we need not be perfect in all three. We are weak. We often fail, yet we get to make the decision today. Once again, and in some ways every day, am I going to take this class? There's got to be a certain point where you stop auditing. You're not just a spectator in the classroom. You are going to say, I commit to this master class. And the good news is, if you do commit to it, the Lord promises the grace. But we have to examine, am I giving him the assent of my mind, the assent of my heart, and the assent of my will? So let's start with the mind. It really is true that he is God made flesh. He is the incarnate Son of God. He is the Messiah, the one promised by the Jewish Old Testaments, the prophets, one of which is in the first reading today from the prophet Isaiah. He is the Savior, the one who came to rescue us from sin and death. He is the Redeemer who by his cross and resurrection has set us free from the shackles of sin. This is an intellectual assent. It's an act of faith. He's asking, who do you say that I am? The intellectual side. The second part is the desire, the heart. Sometimes we just have no desire. We are satisfied and do not wish to move forward. And so today, if that's true, there's not much desire to follow him or make movement, we can pray today, Lord, grant me the grace to desire it. Grant me the grace to desire to follow you. It begins with the desire, but it doesn't stop there. The last part is the will. The will to sacrifice. This idea of sacrifice is so essential to the Christian faith. There are plenty of Christian churches out there that might try to de-emphasize or even ignore the concept of sacrifice, whether you're talking about Christ's sacrifice or our own sacrifice. And I think that's pretty good marketing, right? Like, no one really wants to talk about it. It's not exactly attractive to lead with sacrifice and how much you'll have to give up to continue with following the Lord. But Jesus is not a very good marketer then. Like, he talks about it today, that he wants people to actually make a choice of the will and to be willing to sacrifice. The good news is, even the word sacrifice, the Latin sacrificare, to make holy. That's the goal. By asking us to sacrifice, he wants us to be holy. What does it mean to be holy? To be like God. So this is a tremendous offer by our Lord, an offer of love. Ultimately, sacrifice, this act of the will to deny myself for the sake of the other, is what the human heart longs for. We forget this in a me-centered society, but ultimately in our heart of hearts, we do desire this. We do this radical self-gift. This is why when we hear stories of the saints, like Saint Gianna Mola, who gives her life for her unborn child, or Saint Damien of Molokai, who sacrifices every creature comfort to go to the leper colony in Molokai in Hawaii. This is why we love the stories of the martyrs who lay down their life for the sake of the gospel, because there's something eminently attractive about sacrifice. And same earlier this week, we once again commemorated September 11th, the sacrifice of the first responders. It's noble. It's impressive. I want that. So this desire, good. Now we must imitate it. And ultimately, all sacrifice is a reflection of Christ himself. I've heard it said that sacrifice is the proof of love. That's why the intellectual assent will never be enough, although it's required, prerequisite. That's why desire isn't enough, because desire must be proven in deeds, which is love and sacrifice. This makes more sense of why Jesus is so adamant against Peter. You think, like, Peter's like, oh, I don't want you to suffer, Jesus. He shouldn't say, oh, that's so kind of you, Peter. Thanks for looking out for me. He says, get behind me, Satan. He's like, don't get in my way of proving my love for my people. That's the perspective of Jesus. And so in some ways, if we're in this master class, we must adopt that disposition. Don't get in my way of proving my love for my Lord. If I can find opportunities for sacrifice of my own preferences, my own creature comforts, there's something noble in it. It satisfies the desires of my heart to sacrifice. It imitates Christ, but ultimately it's a proof of my love for him. The mind, the heart, the will. The Lord Jesus today is asking for all of them. If we sacrifice this choice of the mind, we're following a philosophy and not a person. And that's not Christianity. If we don't give our hearts, then it'll only be an intellectual class and it won't be a whole self project. If we don't give our will, if we don't be willing to sacrifice, then we've gotten the whole Christian faith wrong. Because the Christian faith without Christ's self-sacrifice is not the Christian faith at all. Christian discipleship without self-sacrifice is not Christian discipleship at all. Sacrifice is the proof of love. Self-denial is the prerequisite of holiness. And if we ask the martyrs, and we ask the saints who have gone before us, they will tell you about the cross of discipleship, but they will also show you the victory and the glory. This is what our Lord promises at the end of this master class.